I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Greetings from Bratislava, Magdeburg, Vilnius, Tallinn, and Strasbourg this time. I'm David.
And I'm Mark, and you're listening to the Check Your Facts podcast. A little podcast about digital journalism with digital journalists as guests, made by us, two digital journalists from Slovakia and Germany. And as you probably heard, we are in five different cities today, and we're happy to say to you why. But first of all, I want to know, how are you, David? How are you doing?
Thanks. I'm fine, but you had big news today, a big announcement. So please share.
You know it for some time now, but I had to wait. Yeah, I have a new job and I'm moving to Berlin, and I'm going to build as editor responsible in a new platforms team, which will be a huge opportunity and chance to develop myself. I'm really happy.
Sounds really responsible.
Sounds responsible, yes.
By the sounds of it. Okay, so congrats. I'm really looking forward to what learn in Berlin.
Yes, of course. And it's much closer because the airports from Bratislava and Berlin are super connected. So maybe we can meet more often.
Yeah, maybe we can once record in a professional studio.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, nice. let's get to our host, guests, because yes, there are a lot of them today.
Yeah, as you probably saw, we didn't have any episode last week because we were preparing for this one, which is a very big episode with three guests, and we thought this could be like the season finale, the big year end podcast episode whatsoever with three guests, so we can talk for hours and hours and hours about journalism. That's what we like to do. But yeah, who is it, David? Tell us.
So as you heard, we mentioned in the beginning two city names from the Baltics, which is Vilnius in Lithuania and Tallinn in Estonia. So and our third guest is from Latvia, but he's at the moment in Strasbourg. So I would like to welcome all three of them, which is Liepa from Lithuania, Marian from Estonia, and Philips from Latvia. Guys, you could go on in this order and say hi.
Okay, everyone is disconnected. Okay.
Hello. Hello. How are you doing?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, hello.
Okay, we'll cut this to sound.
That's going to be interesting. We never had like three guests on a podcast. We had two. I think it was, the biggest number, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So we like, except Mark, we all know each other from a UX exchange. We met on 2 years ago, and so we decided to get together and talk about the media in Baltics. But before we get into this topic and talk about what's going on in those three countries, I would like to invite everyone to speak about themselves, but how did you get to journalism and what are you doing at the moment? So maybe Marian, do you want to start?
Sure, yeah. Hi from Tallinn, Estonia. So I work for main investigative newspaper that comes out once a week. It's called Eesti Ekspress. And I've been there for 2 years. Before that, I worked for the biggest daily, Postimees. But how did I get into journalism? It's been... Yeah, since 16, I think, since I've been in journalism on and off. But I mean, I've been working for so many different outlets and mediums that if I'm going to list them all now, it's going to take forever. So, I'll just say that journalism for me is everything. This is my passion, absolutely. And And yeah, most of my career I did in Estonia, but I also worked for and freelanced for different English language outlets. So yeah.
And did you like were born and thought like, oh, I want to be a journalist? So was it like a childhood dream?
No, that happened around when I was around 16, when I wrote my first article for the school paper, and that was it. Like, I was done.
Wow. Okay. So you were hooked.
Since then, yeah, completely. Since then, I only applied to study journalism in the uni. So if I hadn't gotten in, I wouldn't have studied anything else. Like, it was just this or nothing.
Nice. Okay, great to have you on. Lirpa, do you want to go next?
Yeah, why not? So I'm working as a journalist for almost 11 years now. I started at school the same as Marian, but I was dreaming about becoming a journalist from my very, very young age. I mean, starting from 6. Because my mother was a journalist and my daddy's uncle was a journalist, a secret journalist, I would say, because he was put in exile and sent to Siberia in 1980 because of the illegal media at that time. So somehow journalism is in my genes, you know.
Wow. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, that's the story of my family. So.
And where are you working at the moment?
So now I'm working in the second largest online media outlet in Lithuania called 15 Minutes. And our owners are from Estonia, so Marian knows them. Well, Estonians own the biggest media channels in Lithuania. That goes to our topic too, I think, today.
Okay, maybe we can address it a little bit later. Why is it called 15 Minutes?
It's just a name. I don't know. Because the media channel was started as a newspaper for free, which you could read in 15 minutes. That was the point, I think. But now the newspaper is closed and we are only living online.
Okay, but that sounds interesting to be called 15 Minutes. Okay, thank you and welcome as well. And we have finally Philips, who's in Strasbourg.
Hello, everyone from Strasbourg. It happened with me also when I was 16, as it happened with Marian. And it started in regional newspaper. So I was in high school and I tried to write something about local cultural events or sports, or whatever they gave to me to write. So at start, I thought that I will write only and just about sports. That was the only thing. But, you know, years passed somehow, and now I am into politics. So, and I never wrote about the sports somehow. So I'm working for Delphi. It's the biggest Baltic online news media. It's biggest in Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. And I'm working there for 5 years right now, I think. And, yeah, mostly writing about politics, but main focus EU politics.
Okay. And you're working for Delphi, right?
Yeah, I'm working for Delphi. I'm a journalist there.
And is 16 years old like a common age in Baltics to get into media? Because... sounds like
life starts when you're 16 in the Baltics.
It just happens when you're 16, so I don't know. It's not a myth. It's a real thing.
Is there something in the water or what's it?
some special? I don't know.
I mean, I was remembering when I was 16 what I wanted to do, and it was basically, you know, just like play on the computer and maybe. I don't know. At the time, I wanted to be a doctor, actually.
How did you get the journalism?
True story. Well, I was fired from the uni.
Okay.
So, that's actually how I ended up in journalism. I started to, like, you know, I studied medicine first, and wasn't the best choice. anyway, let's try to dive into the topic of the Baltics media. I did a terrible mistake when I sent you an email, and the subject there was like Balkan media instead of Baltic media. So I'm terribly sorry for that, guys.
It's okay. Just
okay. I don't think it's okay, by the way. But okay.
I forgive you.
Okay, thank you. I needed to hear that. Philips, we'll talk about it later.
Yes, okay.
I'll explain. But do you think you could, like, in short, just like talk about the media situation in your country? Because the thing is that like we're in 2017, there are like lots of things going on, and I mean, when we wanted to record this episode, we were thinking with Mark, like, hey Mark, we don't really like do not often hear about like what's going on in you know, these different countries in Baltics, like journalism and media wise. Obviously everyone knows the case of like the Delphi, and that they were sued because of the comments online, which was a huge case, and like every journalist in Slovakia knows about it, and I suppose everyone in Europe, because it got to the European court. But if you just could like address this, like, what do you think of the like media situation in your country? That would be like a great starter, I would say. So
I think the situation is much better than in the Balkans. You know, I mean, in Baltics, it's much the situation is much better than in Balkans, because, for example, in Lithuania, the main the most important media is now on the internet. I mean, despite the fact that if it's websites or even television, everybody is watching and listening and reading everything only on the internet. Almost television is not very popular at all, and newspapers are absolutely reducing the name, I would say, because it reminds the times when corruption was much bigger, and they still think that somebody can, you know, kill somebody with newspaper, and websites are much more clear and much more transparent. So I think our situation is getting better in this way, but I'm not talking about money and financial situation by now.
But so you're saying in Lithuania the number one source of news is
internet,
and wouldn't you say like the second is like TV? So
yeah, still
by internet you mean online media, right?
Yeah, sure.
Is that what you mean? But do you mean like it's like parallel to, like, are they independently online media outlets, or? Or do you also publish, let's say, the same information on the paper? Or is it just...
No, not anymore. I mean, the most popular sources are Delphi and 15 Minutes, and they are all...
Only online.
Only online.
Yeah.
No newspapers anymore. And newspapers are living their very, very hard times now. So we only almost... lost all daily newspapers. We are only like only one left, I think, which is daily. Most of them are only like for weekends. So internet gains everything now.
Okay, Liepa, when you talk about that Delphi is like the second biggest, or one of the two biggest.
Delphi is still the biggest, and we are the second. So 15 minutes are the second by now.
And Delphi is Latvian, so your biggest...
No, they are Estonian too.
Oh!
Owners are Estonian, both of Delphi and 15 minutes.
So it reports for the two countries? Or how is Delphi organized? Maybe, yeah, Liepa and Philips, maybe you could tell us how it is.
I can try to explain. So we have offices and different newsrooms in Tallinn, Vilnius, and Riga. And those are totally different editorial teams and with different editorial agenda and organization and management. So we work totally independently from each other. So the thing is that the main owner sits in Estonia. He sits in Tallinn. His name is Hans Luik, and he's one of the, if we could call him like that, Baltic media magnate.
He has the biggest share. He's not the only owner, but yeah. He's the biggest shareholder of the company.
So that's the thing. So Lithuanians and Latvians is kind of owned by Estonian company, and by myself, I'm happy about that right now, because the media ethics and morals in Estonia right now is higher than my belief than Latvia or Lithuania.
And why is that?
It's hard to explain, but the ethical politics of how to rule media companies, how clear to be about the ownership is much better in Estonia. And we can see also that in the media freedom indexes, where Estonia is much in much higher place than Latvia or Lithuania. Then Estonia is some kind of 10th or 12th place, then Latvia is something about 30 place or something like that, so much lower. So the media culture, what the Estonian company gives us, I would say not the culture, but the freedom, so that we do not have any Latvian ownership, that some kind gives us more freedom to work.
Yeah, that's
absolutely agree with you, Philips. Absolutely.
You mean that they wouldn't intervene, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the same happened to Estonia in the 90s when we regained the independence. A lot of Scandinavian media companies opened their newspapers and media here, and we actually really praised it for the same reason, because they never intervened.
But why do you think is that, like, were they like, you know, like such wise people, or because they had businesses elsewhere and they believed in journalism, or why is that?
It was just business, for business reasons. They didn't enter the market for political reasons, for instance, obviously, you know.
I see.
It was just purely market.
If I could add also that for Hans Luik and this ST Express company, it's some kind of luck that they have Delphi, because in Delphi was established in 1999, and it was sold in 2004, and in 2004 it was sold by 5 or 6 million euros. In 2004, but after few years, Estonians bought this company about 54 million euros. The price was much, much, much higher, and by that time, it has just keep growing.
Mm-hmm. If I can intervene too, so I would say that 15 minutes. Is a part of the ST Media Group, which owns 25 media outlets in Baltics. The company is also from Estonia, and so it's kind of similar model. I mean, Delphi and ST Media Group, because we have different news media outlets in different Baltic countries, and they somehow sometimes work together, but usually we are in independent. So it's kind of similar, the media models, and it's working in two different companies, and they are both the most important in all three Baltic states.
I see. Yeah.
And at the same time, I can give you what's happening in Estonia with these companies. They are the so it's Estimedia, which means Estonian Media, and Express Media. And I actually work for Express Media as well, so I'm sort of Philips's colleague, because my newspaper is under that group as well. But in Estonia, these are the two main companies, and they are so competing, and it's just, I mean, they're competing over every person, every story. It's quite intense.
Wouldn't you say it's great, like, for journalism in Estonia to have like two strong media outlets, competing? And like,
yeah, but sometimes it just becomes even absurd. It's just, how we have these pushes on the phones, right? When you download an app.
Yes, of course.
News push. So, like, it's become so absurd that when one news outlet, one group sends out a push, the other one has to send this immediately as well. And if you're subscribed to both of these, if you've downloaded both of these apps, so you just witness this battle like constantly. It's just, I had to just delete one of them because it drove me nuts. It's because I've worked for both of these companies, I know how competitive they are, and I know how each of their decision is influenced by, but what are the others doing? What is the other company doing? So it's
Marianne,
it's a little bit too funny sometimes.
Marianne, imagine that, for example, in Tallinn, some kind of big fire happening. And don't you believe that the both companies would send the push notifications even if they wouldn't be competitors?
No, yeah, of course. But sometimes it's just like even the words are the same. And I wouldn't say that if I wouldn't have been inside and seen this from the inside, and all my friends are journalists, so I know how this works. I know how if one company sends out push, the other one would be, but we have to do the same so quickly, let's you never want to drag behind. And the difference between these companies, if you look at the statistics, it's so small, so they really compete who's get to be the number one.
Well, it's a little bit better now in Latvia in this sense, from the Delphi perspective, of course, if I'm speaking, because we are now kind of very confidential about our first place, so confident about our first place. So the second place, the rival company, is some kind of more than 10% far from us. So this is not the case for us. So if they are sending the push about that, I don't know, whatever, Kim Kardashian, some kind of new surgery, we don't care. So of course they are not doing that. I am exaggerating, but we do not have to follow them. And I believe that they are not following us also, but I can't reply to that.
And I will advocate 15 minutes in this place. Yeah, I have to, guys, you're both from Delphi. So I would say that we are having very strange and funny situations with push notifications too, because usually Delphi sends push notifications with clickbait, something had happened somewhere, and we will send a push with all information. So I think we don't think that our audience are stupid people or something like that, and sometimes it's better actually to send the notifications when 2 minutes later, because if a person has two different apps, so your will be higher,
Okay. Yeah, you thought about this.
Yeah, sure.
Are smartphone mobile apps big? Because you all started suddenly talking about push notifications. So is it something
That's a big thing, of course.
So the most important thing.
Yeah.
Is it a big traffic driver is more course. A personal, assistant, the apps are pushing notifications.
Well, of course, it is a big traffic driver. We see that this trend just grows. like
yeah, goal to be. It's the most important goal to be the first on mobile, not on PC or you know somewhere else.
I see. And is it the same as in most of the Europe in Baltics that mostly people have Android phones and like iPhones are second, or is it opposite?
I do not have a precise statistics about Latvia. I can Google it. It's really fast, but I think that Androids are still more popular just because they're cheaper.
Yeah,
and, I wouldn't know the data on this either.
So, and Liepa, it's the same in Lithuania?
I'm googling that now.
okay. Until you guys Google this, I just wanted to put some things into perspective. So I searched the World Press Index, and turns out like yes, Estonia is like on the 13th place. And then, like around 30, there is Latvia, and after that Lithuania. So you were right in this regard. And also, I was trying to like learn some like basic stats about Baltics media. There is this you obviously I'm sure you know about the digital news report that the Reuters Institute of Journalism puts out every year. For some reason, they have not included your countries yet. Slovakia was included first time last year, so I'm just like no.
Check under Balkan.
Is it there?
No, hopefully not.
No. Okay, this was a joke. Okay, I didn't get it first.
Don't
okay.
Let them fool you around.
Okay, yeah. And so, fact number two. So the European Journalism Center. Now you're laughing at me. So the EJC has something called media landscapes, where they have mapped all the you know media landscapes all around Europe and the West world. So far, but I have looked through the Baltics countries and it was updated last at around 2009. So, yes,
ages ago.
Yes, that's like total like ages ago. So, there are funny things written there, like you know, mainly about newspaper, TV, and radio, and very little about online. So that's why it's quite valuable that what you're like talking about right now. Okay, Mark, I'm sure you have a very specific question now.
Yes, I'm always wondering because we had guests like from Poland and Hungary and other East European countries, and you know that we have a very comfortable situation in Germany with the public service broadcasters, you know, the public owned broadcasters who get paid by like every inhabitant, and they are like free to do whatever they want, but and they have to control the politics and so on. And I'm not very sure how the situation is in your countries, and because you're all working in the private sector, I bet there's not completely something like public service, but how do you feel about it? Is there something missing, or do you have something like this?
I can start.
Yes,
I think
please.
This situation in Latvia is almost miserable.
Okay.
And I was trying to define it because public media is very strong, and public media has one of the best and strongest journalists, but we have one of. But the problem is that they are not surviving just with the state budget, not just with our tax money. They also need to get sponsor money from the private companies. And this aspect raises a lot of questions about ethics, about some concrete programs, sponsored programs, and it's a question of discussion. And this is one of the reasons why this year the broadcast watchdog, what we have, fired a board member of Latvian radio, public radio, accusing that the sponsored programs has affected the independence of the media. So that this is a huge, huge problem and a question now in Latvia, and it's totally not okay with this in here.
Hmm. Interesting. How about Lithuania?
Oh, we have a huge scandal now because politicians are trying to get all information about public television's pay slips, I would say, for all the journalists who are just producing stuff for television, I mean, for public television. And like public television answered that it's kind of commercial thing and kind of secret, so we cannot give you all information. However, they are gaining money from the state, so I don't know if it's really true. And it's a huge scandal because now, today exactly, the leader of the main party, leading party now, asked questions to one of the journalists of who is working, who is the very popular on public television, and accused him doing something wrong with taxes, not paying all the taxes or something like that. And that journalist asked another questions for a politician, and everything was on Facebook. So yeah, we kind of feeling that this leading party is not happy about journalism which is made by public televisions, and they are trying to I don't know, to put some boundaries for them or doing something like that. You know, it's kind of I don't know, related with freedom of journalists there. I see the danger in this kind of feeling today about the scandal. So I don't know if you understand me correctly, but
it's not easy
to explain. But it was a huge scandal today too, really.
And how about Estonia, Marian?
We do have public broadcasting service as well. I think the difference with Lithuania is that we don't pay like specific. I think in Lithuania you guys pay specific tax.
No,
no, you don't. But you used to.
Mm-mm. I don't remember. No, it's a kind of they are financing from the budget.
Yeah.
From the state budget.
Okay, I somehow thought that you had the specific tax. Okay. Yeah, so it's the same. They're financed by the state budget. And they are trying to compete with these two major companies.
And how are they succeeding?
Well, they're not definitely... Their online site is definitely not the top red site, but they have a lot of availabilities, and it makes it, in my view, this is very personal, but I think it makes it very unfair to the private sector, because they have all these journalists, they have the radio, the TV, and all these resources that they can just use, and they often promote their content. For instance, on public broadcasting TV channel, they would promote, even like, I would call it advertise, that you should all go to online news sites and read the news there. And so the private companies have to compete with that, right? So in a way, it's a bit unfair, I think.
So
do we share information with a private sector? Because if taxpayers somehow are paying for this public television, so information is kind of, you know, should be available for all of us, you know, to get the article if you wanted to republish it.
There's this agreement.
Can you do that?
Private media can refer to this information, and they can do the same with the information published on private media. That's true, yeah.
And
but they're still competitive. They're still like this third competing entity next to the private companies, which doesn't make much sense. But they claim to be like very balanced and the most neutral. But I don't know if you guys have the same... actually, that would be interesting to know in Latvia and Lithuania. In Tallinn, specifically, we have this their own like TV channel, financed by the Tallinn City Council, and basically controlled by the main party, central party, which is obviously the other parties always complain about, and a lot of people as well. Do you have the same phenomenon, how like the main party basically creates their own media?
In capital city, as in city double? Yeah. Not right the same. We have the thing that the main political power has a huge influence to some Russian channels, because the main party is ethnicity Russian based. So they have pretty huge influence, but they, as I know, they do not own anything.
We don't have that phenomena in Lithuania and Vilnius, especially no television related with politics, but the leader of the main political party just sold his shares in a regional newspaper, and they are printing newspapers for free and pretending that it's not that newspaper is not related with the party, despite the fact that it is, and it's kind of advertisement newspaper, you know.
Yeah, yeah, the same with the
fake picture of the main leader with you know. So yeah, so politicians are always interested in owning media channel somehow.
Sure, but in this case, in Tallinn's case, it's the money comes from the city budget. Basically, it's a propaganda channel that we finance.
Okay, so that would be my next question, because in Germany, it's very, very much protected that the public service broadcasting is independent, autonomous. So it's not paid by a tax or city money, but by a certain amount of money you have to pay. Like, it's not a tax, so politicians can say you have to write this or send this, or so it's not basically public radio, but more like propaganda channels.
No,
Marian, continue.
No, I didn't understand. Do you mean like this Tallinn TV or?
Yeah, like all three of yours, the TV in Tallinn sounded a bit like this, but...
Well, that's the only example that I can give where...
Okay.
But they would obviously never publicly claim that this is their channel. They say this is a television channel for the people of Tallinn. But okay. It's clear when you look at the content that it's their voice. This is their channel.
So it's influenced by... politics and
it's
politicians
by this very specific party, yes, but
okay, everybody knows from, but yeah,
yes, everyone knows that, it's just a matter of fact, but the public broadcasting obviously is completely separated from the politics, like that would not that would not be possible.
I found it really interesting when you three were talking about how it's unfair, because we have this same situation and discussion right now in Germany, because the private sector says, like, if you get all this share of money, why do you do the same, like writing texts into the internet and not like keep on doing what you're doing, which means like radio shows and TV shows and do that. And I still work for a public service broadcaster, and I was always like, of course, I always had the point of view that it's still a competition and that we should also do things in the internet. But I'm really interested in how you see this whole debate about what a public broadcaster should do or shouldn't do, like from that point that you were in the discussion.
I don't know. I only remembered this one incident lately where one of the news hosts in Estonia dared to ask quite sharp questions from one of the politicians, and after this there was a huge debate. is this something that public broadcast should do? Should they really be that sharp? Shouldn't they be just like neutral observants? So there is a sort of a, like expectation that they should be as neutral as possible.
But isn't this exactly the thing they have to do, like asking like sharp questions, because that's a part of...
Well, yeah, I obviously praise it. Like, I think it was great, like finally some spice in this in this channel, because they really are quite, tend to be quite soft and boring at times.
Similar in Riga, that the people are waiting and expecting that there will be something like BBC Hard Talk, and we will have those sharp questions, but there are very, very little of those times when we see that. And that's not because there would be some political impact, I believe, but mainly about that. That's just this culture of public media, how they works.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have some kind of luck and they can catch some big fishes or something like that.
It's very rare
in corruption field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's rare.
Okay.
Although the main investigative TV show, the best one, truth be told, is under public broadcast station. So, but this is a specific one show, yeah?
I would say the best talk show in Lithuania is on public television. I mean, political talk show. Then every evening one politician comes to the studio and has to answer sharp questions. And that journalist was in scandal today, so I'm quite worried about him. And I would say that politicians has no power to public television and radio and internet in Lithuania, but they have a decision choice to how much money to spend on it, and that's it. This is a decision, you know. So they, and we got secret correspondence from the main party members almost half year ago, and they were writing each other that we should close this program, this talk show, because we are not objective, they are not neutral to us, they are, you know, asking too hard questions and whatever. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of politics now. They are somehow trying to get this public television as their own media channel. So now I would stand for public television and for public radio, just because I see that politicians are trying to close them down.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's only a small step away what I would like to discuss with you, because Philip said earlier that he got the feeling that the Estonian media scene is like the freest or like... Yeah, most independent. And as I told you, we were talking to people from Hungary and Poland. How is it with like political suppression of the media landscape? How hard is it for journalists to like be very critical of the government and of certain political parties or influences? How is it, Philips? Maybe you start, because you got.
The first thing when we are talking about the political impact, it is then we talk about newspapers, and if we are still talking about newspapers as a thing, then they are under impact and influence of political interests. In Latvia we have three newspapers, like the national newspapers, and all three of them, in some angle, we can read the influence out of them. It is so like you see it immediately, and in one newspaper it's harder to find, but also so in from this this side, it's good that okay, there's this public broadcaster which is independent, and then there is two Estonian, say, companies in Latvia which are free, because the reason, because they are from Estonia. So, and we have one more, the third company is MTG, which is known just before a few months rebranded to All Media, if I'm right. So it is the commercial TV competitor for public broadcaster. So yeah, we have political influence, but I would say just when we are talking about newspapers right now.
Okay, so it's not dangerous to be a journalist, because you know, in Hungary it can be. That's why.
No, I mean,
it's far away. I know that, but you know, you only have this nowadays, I think, more in the Eastern European part. So we're just checking. how about Lithuania? Liepa?
I would say that the biggest influence is for regional newspaper and regional online media outlets, like small websites, which is working mainly for this city's people, you know, small units in small areas. So they are usually related with local politicians. That's a huge problem, but the national media we don't have.
Liepa? If I can add up one thing, you just talked about the regional newspapers. I believe maybe this is a different question, but it's in Latvia it is a different huge problem, political influence. But the problem is that those newspapers, if we can call them like that, is owned by municipalities, and they are calling themselves as newspapers. And now we have the president, the first president, when one Latvian private local newspaper went to the European court, and European court initiated case against Latvia right now. So this is a thing. Sorry this interrupted. Marianne is that's right.
No, it's interesting, go on.
Yeah, so it was in Bauske, their city, Bauske, in the middle of Latvia, and there in this city, they have two local newspapers, one owned by a municipality and one owned by private media owner. And the private owner said that, hey, guys, we have ads, advertisements in our newspaper, and you also, but you are like subsidized also mainly by municipality, and in the meantime, in this municipality newspaper, when you open the paper, you see that there mostly you can see the deputies of the council smiling, opening new factory, or speaking with children and saving dogs and cats, and they still call themselves newspaper. So at first, Latvian newspaper, the private newspaper, went to the local court. A local court said, okay, guys, you are right. The municipality, this published paper, they can't put ad anymore. That's right. You are right there. But they still can publish their papers. And the private company said, no, sorry, we do not believe that. And they went to the European court. And the professional media sphere in Latvia, we are very, very supportive to this paper, and we also believe that it's a super huge problem in Latvia. We have a lot of such a kind of papers. We call themselves newspapers, but in the reality, they are not close anything like that.
I love that they didn't give up. They're going on with this. To send the signal that you know.
they got also a pretty strong pro bono law firm, which supports them. So they have some kind of support.
Okay.
So Marianne, your turn.
It's really hard for me to answer this question, actually. I'd say, like, what I already talked about, this Tallinn, it's a very Tallinn-specific problem. They have their own news, like, city council, supposedly, newspaper and TV station and the radio, actually, even. I'm not sure about the radio. I don't know if it's part of the city council. But, yeah, this is where you really see politicized media. But other than that, if I think about the biggest outlets, there are always claims. There are always people who claim that this is the leading party's outlet, this is the opposition party's outlet. But having worked in these papers, I really can't say that. I don't think that they have this influence. It's always easy to claim, I think, but actually now, recently, it's much interesting for me to observe Estonian media. This is the group where Liepa works for, that Liepa works mm-hmm. for. Because now it was bought by this this huge businessman, and owned by this one of the richest people in Estonia, who has different companies and, for instance, pharmacies. And so, you know, you start to see more advertisements of his pharmacies, on his outlets and so on. So this is actually something that we keep an eye on right now, more than this politicized media. Although I really like Philips's story about how you're handling this in Latvia. Maybe we should also do something about the city council media yeah. that just keeps being there.
Pretending. they keep pretending.
Yeah, and it's like you're weaponless. You know, mm-hmm. what can you do?
Yeah. I mean,
I love that Latvians are not giving up on this. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really great Latvian lesson, which
yeah.
we all learn.
That's great. There are actually like three, I would say maybe like big topics, but I would just like give all of you like just a little bit time to just talk about it. So I'm not sure where this notion is coming from, but I had the sense that in Baltics, there are like a strong investigative journalism, you know, groups kind of like that in each country. There are like little units, and there is like something called. I think when we were messaging before this podcast, one of you told me that there. You someone started an investigative journalism like in Baltics, like a cross-border unit. So how do you see investigative journalism in your countries? Maybe Liepa, we could start with you.
So we do have investigative journalism team in 15 minutes, which is unusual thing for a private media outlet, and because, you know, it's a very, very expensive and long-lasting journalism, but they are working with Rebaltica, which I think you noticed and you know already, David. They are working with organized crime and corruption reporting project. So they were part of Panama Papers and Paradise Papers this year. So they are quite well known in Europe and all over the world. Could say that won a part of Pulitzer Prize, a very, very small part, of course, because they were one of 300 journalists who were working with Panama Papers, but still. Investigative journalism is kind of on top now, I would say, in Lithuania.
And you mentioned Rebaltica. I think the headquarters is in Riga. So Philip, yeah. could you talk more about Rebaltica and investigative journalism in Latvia?
Yeah, Rebaltica really, it is founded in Riga. That's true. And it's called Investigative Journalism Center Baltic. Yeah, that's also true. And they are doing a good job. They have done a good job. But the thing is that sometimes the reports what they have, they are really, really good features, like feature articles, really good feature articles. But it's not enough to call it investigative journalism all times. And in the other side, sometimes the other journalists, whatever, in TV or in online, can do some really good feature, but they call feature article. But in reality, it also is more closer to investigative journalism. So it's not just black and white. The speakers, the loudspeakers, what we have about investigative journalism, yeah, that's true, that's Rebaltica, and they are working, and they have some grants, and they are cooperating with Lithuanians and Estonians.
And,
although it's very Latvian, no? Or Latvian, Lithuanian. I don't think Estonians are very...
Oh, no, they're basically, they're Latvian girls. Made it. But they tried to cooperate, and in some cases they had some cooperation, like pan-Baltic pieces.
But do you see the need like to have a cross-border Baltics investigative journalism unit? So like you already mentioned that the media is quite cross-border owned. So I guess there are like more businesses cross-border owned, which means that
of course
maybe it makes sense. But I would like to hear your take on it. Like.
Of course, we need something like that, and sometimes we try, and sometimes we are successful, and a lot of cases we are not. The thing is that Baltic State business environment is so connected, and that's mean that the stories where the stories you can find is somewhere between all those three countries. So yes, you need it to find them. Rebaltic Center, they do not have resources enough to do that. Delphi have tried also. I wouldn't say that we have been very successful, but we are trying to do something also there. Yes, we need, at least I haven't seen a very good result yet.
I see. And Marianne, how is like investigative journalism in Estonia? Like you said, your colleagues are doing something.
What we are doing is more, it's a bit different with our agency. We help actually other journalists who come to our region to, we help them to report about the Baltics. We want to get the Baltics more out there. We want to put the Baltics on the map more. So it's a bit different.
And why do you think like the Baltics is so like... I'm not saying underreported, but as we mentioned, it wasn't involved in the digital news report, the media landscapes on EJC, they're like outdated. Is it because of the the geography that you're like somewhere there near Russia and hopefully you're doing well, but we don't really care, or why do you think is that, Lepa?
That's a hard question, but I wouldn't say somewhere near Russia, because this is the point which makes us interesting. I would say it should be like that, in my opinion, very personal one. But, talking about investigative journals, for example, why we do not cooperate with Rebaltica too much or something like that, because we all, as we already said, Delphi has newsrooms in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. We have something similar because we are a group of 25 media outlets in Baltics, in Estonia, Latvia. So if we need something from Estonia, we can go to Postimees and ask them for help. We do need some,
But how often do you actually do that, Maya?
Sometimes. Not very often. I have to admit that. But
would you say, like, have you personally done it? Have you actually cooperated with Latvian or Estonian journalists?
Few times, because usually I cover Lithuanian local politics, so it's not very common thing for me. Sometimes I only ask if this law is passed in your country too, you know, something similar questions. I mean, how this system works in your country.
Okay, so you still do that?
Yeah.
Philips, how and why do you think you're, like, you know, on the edge of the interest of Europe,
like,
media wise? I would say I'm not saying, like, nobody cares for Latvia. we care deeply for Latvia.
What do you want from me then? Ask me again.
I want you to forgive me calling Baltics Balkans.
I forgive you. This is a mistake. But I have seen many times.
Okay. So that's my fault. There was also, like, the second question I wanted to ask, which is, I already mentioned that to Liepa, that so in the world everyone is talking about Russian propaganda, Russian interest, and you guys are one of the, like, countries the closest to, you know, I would say Russia and maybe Russian interests in Europe. Do you feel any kind of, you know, how do you say it? You know, pressure to either, like, you know, business wise or also, like, reporting wise, that do people in your countries care or about, like, what's going on in Russia, or is it just like, okay, so those guys over there and we are part of Europe and we don't care for them? Like, how's it in Estonia, Marianne? You have like you guys in Estonia have, like, a very I would say murky history with Russia.
Well, I think it's very similar with Latvia. I of course the fear of Russia is always there and always shadowing every decision. I don't think we should be defined by this. And there's so much more to our countries. And most of the international journalists who come to Estonia or this region, they look for this fear of Russia. And to be honest, I think we are getting tired of this. I think the younger generations are getting tired of this. They don't relate to this anymore. They're born in free Estonia. They don't understand why do we constantly have to be dragged by this imagined fear, you know? So I think there's a sort of a clash of generations as well there, right? It's a huge difference whether you were born during the Soviet Union or not.
Yeah, I know. And do you consider yourself, like, one of the, you know, you care more for Estonia as it is and, like, for the future and...
Well, I was born in the Soviet Union. I was 6 when Estonia got independent. But I'm tired of this fear. I don't think we should live with that. I think there are so much more here. And, well, this actually tackles a bit into this, what you asked before, why nobody cares about our region. I think I think the Baltics are not good in, or historically haven't been good in marketing, right? Like, we're not marketing oriented people. I guess it's not fair to speak about Lithuanians and Latvians, but at least Estonians, it's historically it's been, you know, work hard and then somehow just it finally you'll find your happiness. Yeah. But I think just recently we discovered that no, you do need to sell your country. You need to put it on the map. Nobody's going to do this for you. So we have quite a few government-financed entities, different institutions, different entities that deal with this, promoting Estonia and make creating the image and putting it on the map. And I think it's slowly changing because now we're becoming more and more this e-government, e-voting, all this e-country, right? More than only the little country that's always afraid of Russia, you know? So I think we're passing this slowly. I hope so, at least.
Mm. If I can add,
I think that story about the biggest fear of Russia in Baltics helped all three countries, helped a lot to sell them to Europe and to the world and to gain attention, I mean, in NATO, in European Union, because, for example, in Lithuania, politicians and people were talking about the fear of Russia for ages, I mean, for 25 years, starting from 1990, and what has happened, Europe and the world, I mean, in political level, noticed that we were talking about this for 25 years only after Russia came to Crimea and occupied it. Was a thing which let us solve our problems more easily.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Philips, Latvia, yeah. How do you see the Russian issue?
Russian issue is inevitable. It is here and you see it. And mostly the last years, we have been fighting with the fake news thing, but I think we are pretty good there right now. And people have started to think critically, I believe, and I see. Still, we have a problem with the critical thinking, but the things have get better, I believe. The much bigger problem that we have now is that the biggest telecommunication giant that we have, it is Latelecom. It's a company which provides internet and television for households, and it is mainly owned by state, 51%, and the other percents are for Scandinavian private company. And this state state company, mainly owned by state, is retranslating many Russian propaganda channels. So, and some of the channels, the same happening in Estonia and in Lithuania, a little bit less in Estonia, but it's similar in Lithuania. But Lithuanian watchdog is much more harsher to give some kind of fines to ban this channel. So, and this is the situation that we have problem with propaganda, but the state company retranslates it. So, and when you say to them that, hey guys, do you understand what you are doing, that it is easier to find some Russian channels in your package than CNN. then they are saying, yeah, but market situation is that and that, because in Latvia the ethnicity is the Russian ethnicity population is the biggest as in all of three states that we have here.
Latvia in the EU, I think you have the biggest minority group in the EU.
So the Russian channels is the market. So, and the state company plays the same. So this is the mindset problem that we have. With the fake news and the propaganda thing, I tend to agree with Marianne that we are getting bored. So guys, think something new, please.
Yeah.
So.
But at the same time, I remember a couple of years ago when I worked for, some years ago when I worked for Postimes, and in the midst of all the Crimea and Eastern Ukraine war conflict, let's say, whenever you would write a story or publish a story about something that would mention Russia or Ukraine, that would just like kill the internet, like everyone would read it, you know? Like,
yeah, the same is happening still, I think. Like, the Putin is the main keyword if you want to get a clickbait.
Yeah.
Really?
So,
So people read, so clearly there is interest. Clearly people are worried.
I see. Okay, so yeah. So let's maybe finish with something positive. And could you all say like one thing connected to journalism and media in your country? I don't know, like one of the latest innovation or like whatever you find is like a great sign of journalism moving forward. Like be it a really great news app or an investigative unit or a TV program doing great like political talk show. So maybe you can start with Liepa, then Marian, and end with Philips.
I didn't have time to think, so I will talk about myself. Can I?
Of course.
So yeah. So a year and a half ago, I started a first fact-checking project in Lithuania, which is called "Patikrinta 15 minučių" or "Checked by 15 minutes," and it's still the only one which is working in Lithuania. So where we are fact-checking claims made by politicians. Our competitors are working only with propaganda things, so they are reconstructing propaganda stories, and we are working only with claims made by politicians. Another thing, we started government promise tracker, and because we got a new government last year, and in January we started a fact-checking project, and we are checking if they are keeping their promises or not. So it's kind of new thing made by me again. And talking about broader context, I would say that we have very interesting TV station only in internet, working on Patreon platform, if you know what I mean.
No, not really. Patreon, you mean? Like people are pledging them money, or
people are paying for them, but through Patreon system. I mean,
Patreons. Okay. I know the system. So like it's like pledging. Not really like memberships, it's more like pledging.
Yeah. So, and this TV station works very, I would say, well. I was kind of skeptical about them because I didn't think that Lithuanian people would like to pay for media, because, you know, they are getting everything for free in the internet. But they do, and we have the same system now. We are asking people to buy, a teacup for us and help us to build our investigative team more efficient, I would say. So yeah, so people are paying for media in Lithuania. That was a surprise for me in this year, and we have a challenge coming next year. Because the government, the parliament passed the law which forbids alcohol advertising, and this will be very hard time for all the media next year, because we're gonna lose around like starting from 10 to 30% of money, and this will be a problem, because you know advertising is all moving to Google and Facebook. Yes. And if you are losing another money together with that problem, so it's gonna be harsh time.
I see. So and paying like paywall models are not like big thing yet, right?
Well, you know, it's nice, but it's not enough.
Okay. But yeah, not nice. I'm really glad you're doing the fact-checking thing. Marian, so what's the best news in Estonia?
I would just say that I think this is a great time to be a journalist, and to be a journalist in the Baltics. If you, for instance, look at us three, we're all young and working for the top media, you know, like we're really lucky. If I think about my international friends from Italy or Portugal, it's hard to even get your foot between the door, right? And so if you really want to do journalism and if you really want to do good job, you can really do it in our countries and from very young age.
Yeah, and, 16, right?
Yeah, from 16. And you can also do investigative journalism here. I can see how if you really do a good job and if it's really... well played out, well sold online, you can really sell good investigative journalism. People would read it and they would pay for this. So I don't know how long this will last. Maybe it's a miracle, but for now I think we're still, it's a good time still. I think.
Okay, that sounds great actually. I'm feeling hopeful now for all of you. And Philips?
Yeah, I also have only good things to say. So if I would say that in all media landscape, in the last few months, in the last year maybe, the one of the best news is that one of the leading investigative journalists, he had a hard news talk show for many years, which was a most watched TV program. And he has returned, and he has returned to Delphi, you know. And he has a show once in each week, approximately. So he's back, and it's very strange when I'm saying that one person somehow can be a such a, I don't know, big news, but this guy was really huge for many years, and after him, we never had anybody like that level in hard talk. Mm. And now he came back, and he hasn't lost his like skills. So this is one big good news that we have. But also, I think that a good thing for a private company as Delta, we have expanded the social network team. We have four guys who are working just with social network strategy, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and lokaldraugiem.lv. So I think as the social networks, as the future, and you have talked about in your podcast before that, so it's very good to see that we can expand in that direction also. And we are taking in the newsroom new journalists also, but if we can take also the social network guys, that's very very good sign for the journalism in future, I think.
Mm. Wow, that was great, guys. Mm. So Mark, do you know now all about Baltics Media?
I hope so. It was so much information to process. I have to re-listen to the podcast. But yeah, thank you very much for this deep insight into your journalistic scene. I'm really impressed, I have to say.
Yeah. I love how the best news from Latvia is that one Latvian returned. Sorry.
You thought all the time when to say this.
I shouldn't say it. It's not nice. But
no. I mean, yeah. if Philips feels that way, I think it's okay.
Yeah, you listen to David, and I already said about European Court and the regional newspaper. I can't say it again. So, if I wouldn't say it before, I would say that right now. But I said it. So
okay. Well, I'm glad now you're like, how many are you now?
still twice as you in Estonia. So.
Touché. Okay. Okay.
Okay, that was a nice one. Okay, okay, guys. Thank you for coming to the podcast. It's been great, and hopefully we can have you like back in the future, maybe one by one, and like talk about something more specific, but we wanted to do this like a general talk about Baltics Media, and I think it was great also for the listeners who, if they listened until this and are not subscribed yet to the podcast, you can do so. On we're on Apple Podcasts, all the feeds where you could find us, like TuneIn, Stitcher, I don't know, check out our website, which is checkyourfacts.eu, EU as European Union, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and don't forget to listen to us in the new year, because we will be taking a Christmas leave for 2 or 3 weeks, right, Mark?
Yes. And I saw a sweater, and I think you would like it. It said, like, the famous lines from Mariah Carey's Christmas song, and it said, "All I want for Christmas is EU, like European Union, with the stars around it." And I thought you could like that. And,
I have to get it. I have to get it now. No, I really have to get it. Okay, guys. Thank you, and thanks for listeners to stuck with us until now.
Before you open your presents, please always check your facts. Please do it, and we see each other on the other side in 2018, and we will have some very nice guests, I promise.
Okay, bye guys, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.